Here we go. Welcome back. It's episode lucky number 7. Speaking of lucky, it was lucky that we all got the memo on how to dress to like, because we've got on our great hoodies, and it's good to see that Jim and Brett wore the same ball cap. They match with the white or the gray on top.
Jim's got a visor.
Oh, it's a visor. Well, hey, Brett, I'm glad to see you came today to the podcast.
That's his real hair.
It looks like one of those hats that comes with the fake fuzzy hair.
It's like the gray
fuzzy. I thought you guys were, because yours is like white on the back, too. I didn't know if you guys had the memo, and we just all didn't clash.
The peppered skunk on his head.
Oh, man. Mid-April already.
Late April.
Almost mid, late April.
May mid, is late,
I don't know.
We're almost at April.
Easter's coming.
Get with
gone.
It, Jerry.
May Day's around. You going to make May baskets, Jim? May 1st?
Always. Sweet. Always.
Are you going to deliver them here, or are you going to sit at
home?
Those
are the best.
I'll deliver them wherever you want.
Where are you?
May baskets.
May baskets.
My side hustle.
Remember?
Side hustle is May baskets.
This is a new thing we've learned today. Jim makes May baskets as a side hustle.
Why not?
Weather, of course,
that
has
wraps
been
it up for today.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for watching. We'll be back for episode 8 tomorrow. Weather, spring weather has been interesting here in the racing world. Some rain outs
all over the country.
Some freeze outs.
Some wind outs.
We had hail here in town this morning.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was. I was at Eagle Saturday night, and they were fighting 40 to 50 mile an hour winds to start the night.
It's crazy. But, I don't think we've had a nice day of weather yet.
Monday.
In this area.
Mondays have been nice.
I don't think Monday was really nice. Here, yeah.
Well, nicer than what Saturdays have
been in
Friday.
The 70s yet.
When 45 maybe? Feels warm, you know you haven't had nice weather.
Yeah, exactly.
It is going to be 70 today, though, they say.
But, you know,
that'll complement the 40 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
A little bit of a history lesson here. We all know. Well, maybe we don't. Jerry, what year was IMCA founded?
1915.
There you go. You know who won the first race?
Oh, I know.
Ron Flynn from Crystal, Michigan. he was a veteran at the time, and Ron won the first race. But a little other piece of trivia here. A racer who was at that race, I think he qualified for the show, Johnny Sadoff. It was at that race, and over the years, he's managed to pull off 356 IMC modified wins, with his last one coming Saturday night at Eagle Raceway.
Do you think that in 1915 he was that tall and he had that good flowing hair?
Yeah, he did. I've seen pictures. I've seen the silent movies with him in it and on the newsreel. And he did. He was the first to originate the mullet, and they used to call it the Sadoff. And, but you know, I'm sitting at Eagle watching the race and, watching the 96 car, and until Victory Lane, I thought it was Jackson that won, because I'm used to seeing Jackson go that fast, but not Johnny. But sure enough, Johnny pops out. I mean, it was a great race. He held off, Grabowski, tried everything. And, once again, the old man won it. It was kind of neat to see.
He's like 59 years old now, isn't he? Yeah. I think it's what isn't I saw crazy? On social media the other day.
It's good to see him winning. It really is. He's always been, for me, Super Nationals. Shift to Super Nationals conversation real quick. Sadoff has always been the guy that I've wanted to see win the Super Nationals, just for whatever reason. I mean, like, I've always thought that it's a race he should win.
Yeah.
He hasn't.
Nope.
He's won, five national championships, 356 features, whatever the heck it is. He's won about everything, every big race we've had. He's won a lot of big races that we didn't even sanction as well. Mm-hmm. Back in the day in the 90s when they were.
Oh, and he had a very credited late model career.
Absolutely, yep.
And one of the funny stories I've always heard, and I heard it from John Logue, when him and Sadoff back in the day when they were all, tooth and nail fighting it out and everything, and they were talking one day in the staging area at Super Nationals, and John was just sitting there, and Johnny got a little chirpy with him and says, "Hey, how many of those national titles you won, Logue?" And he goes, "How many Super Nationals you got?" And he said, Sadoff turned and walked away.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny will always be a part of Super Nationals history. We have the Sadoff rule at the Super Nationals. That's no dog in the pits. Thanks to Johnny. So if anybody's looking to bring their dog to the Super Nationals, call and thank Johnny.
Oh yeah, good times. Yeah, but anyway, he's one I've always wanted to see win Super Nationals for whatever reason.
You know, that's the elusive one. Like you said, he's won everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he can win the 40th this year, 40th anniversary.
Why not go out with a bang?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be there. He usually comes. Him and Jackson both race. They pit in the same spot every year. You know, kind of like Johnny's been like a fixture at that event for us.
Same spot every year.
What's that, Jim?
Right on Jet Row, yeah, we call exactly. It, in the pits.
Yep. What else? Anything else about Eagle, Jim?
Like I said, the wind was the main thing. I don't know how Roger kept the track the way he kept it. I mean, it was racy all night long. The stock car feature was amazing. The modified feature, like I said, was amazing. And I think we had, a little over 160 cars. And, you know, Roger, he drugged the show out. It was almost 10:15 before it was over with 160 cars. So
I was actually watching it on IMCA TV. I was watching it live.
You want to see a quick show, you either get to Eagle or tune into IMCA TV, because each weekly race from Eagle Raceway will be broadcast on IMCA TV, Eagle Raceway TV, and I think you can pick it up on Advantage too. But tune in and watch. I think it's a hell of a show. The sprint cars put on a great show at that track, and there's not a lot of downtime, and he hustles that show right on through.
You're talking about 160 cars, too. I mean, that's normal for them. Yeah. I mean, that's not because the season just kicked off. That's a weekly show for them.
What would be fun would be to have him wired up on the broadcast in the race receiver. We would all learn some new words, and he gets a little cranky if the show tends to drag out a little bit. You start hitting about 9:45, 10 o'clock. It's tough.
What are you timing over there?
What are you doing?
You got a stopwatch going, don't you?
Well, I'm just trying to keep us on
track. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Remember he said he didn't know if he could go a full hour today without having to go to the bathroom? Were you on some new workout regimen?
No, just continue to be on my McDonald's iced caramel macchiato coffee.
There he goes once again with the plugs.
Yes. Oh, we did. Hey, Jim. Guess what we had today.
How was your pizza, Jim?
I got to figure out where it's at. How was your pizza?
Hey, Jim, just so you know,
next time you're here, we did save you a slice.
I was going to say.
There's one left. Yep.
If this would be the old redraw boxes, you drew number one.
Because
this morning you were our number one.
This is why you're timing us.
Why am I timing us? Because we don't have pieces of pizza to count now as we eat them. You know, like we did with the donuts last time. Donuts. We just counted down. We ate the pizza away from ending this deal. Yeah, exactly.
We were there before we started.
But anyhow, I love Casey's breakfast pizza.
It's the best.
Fantastic.
Dude, I just love Casey's pizza altogether. What are you talking about?
Sausage, taco,
bacon cheeseburger.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Got to do it.
I should have had the pizza after the podcast, though, if I have to excuse myself.
Yeah. We'll cut the show short just in case Ryan has to.
Think we're going to be a little greasy or something.
How do you like the new Dirtcast sign?
I love it.
I like it.
I love it. I think it
looks awesome. Now, is that the one Nate designed?
No, it's actually the one Chris designed.
Nate and Chris collectively
were like, you know, we need this new sign, and we put two of our best on it. And
that's what they came up with.
Fantastic job.
They did perfect.
So. We had to showcase it by making a big sign and putting it in our podcast room.
It's like we're like big time now. You know, I saw last week we were, I think, within 100 of Joe Rogan's podcast, and we did pass Caller Daddy. And we're moving up.
Oh, but we are on like Spotify. Yeah, we're on all the streaming platforms. So if you
people are going to be Googling Call Her Daddy right now.
What are you talking about? I am.
Posting it up last week, we exceeded 500 downloads in the first week.
Sweet.
Wow. So people must have been bored.
So you can listen to us. So you don't even have to look at
it. There's no way that they're downloading it to listen to you, Jerry. No way.
I will second that opinion. I mean, I don't know what
there's a reason why I have this like microphone volume thing, or I can just
no. That's your headset. So oh, you don't have to hear. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't.
Doesn't affect me. How loud he is.
I told Nate the other day we need a nuclear button that I can just drill a hole in the table right here, and it was a nuclear button. So whenever Jerry says too much, I can push it, or whenever Jim says something that he probably shouldn't be saying, I can push it too.
Then we may just want to cut him off the broadcast.
It'll be like editing the Will Smith slap. All right, just cut seven seconds out of this section. And
we need a button like that for Facebook. And I
can still we get a Facebook inspector?
Dumbass That's post of the week. I think we need to roll that out.
We should. Yes, we should. We should find somebody. We should put out an app, you know, like a
application.
We're taking applications
because everybody's hiring right now.
They are. And Facebook is where all the action is at. So we should. You know, maybe develop a position where we hire somebody to be our Facebook inspector. They inspect race cars that are posted. The pictures are on Facebook. They call the racer, either, you know, and possibly even visit their house to personally oversee the fixing of this race car before it even gets to the racetrack.
Can I do that? Because I see pictures of, like, people's cars in their shop or their garage, and they got, like, a cool refrigerator full of beer, and they got, like, some cooking pizzas or smoking over. Those are the places I would want to go visit personally.
You know,
and I mean, I'm not necessarily going to say, hey, fix that in your car. Hey, why don't you fix me something to eat?
Yeah, some guy, you know, what a great way to introduce ourselves, I think, to the racers is to call them personally about a post that they've posted on Facebook of what they just built and tell them that it doesn't look right or that it's wrong or that they got to fix it or that they got to tear it apart.
Maybe it could be the same guy that writes the letters.
Ryan?
I don't think I'd be fit for that position.
Well, yeah. I mean, you would fill it out perfectly. I have an idea.
You have an
idea? We could have like a special shirt made.
Facebook police.
I don't think I'd be a good Facebook police person.
Yeah, you're probably
not
right.
Not a tech guy anyway.
We get an awful lot. We get an awful lot of communications over Facebook messages and even emails that are referencing Facebook pages of racers that take pictures of their cars and then people want us to do something about them. You know, I mean, obviously, it's not at a sanctioned event. The racer may not even be a sanctioned racer at that time. There's just a lot of reasons why, generally speaking, we try to avoid getting pulled into that swamp. But it's kind of a fun swamp at times to be in just because you can kind of have fun with it. I had fun with one this morning, to be honest. So,
well, I think it's going to become easier to do, you know, once Brett buys Facebook. Twitter just got bought, so I think
he beat my bid. I had 42 billion on it. He got me at 43 or 44.
Damn it,
he beat me.
But you still have your rockets, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we're still gonna. Good. I'm scheduled to go on Bezos's rocket, and he hasn't given me an exact date yet. But it was an expensive trip. I think he wanted like something like $350,000 or something like that. So I was I'm going to hold off for a little while. I don't want to be the first person to go on it. So,
hey, but I mean, somebody else. You know, if that doesn't work, 100
crate motors we have to sell.
Pardon me?
That's 100 crate motors we have to sell to pay for that.
Oh boy, here we go.
Hey, if this racing deal doesn't work out for you, rumor has it you could go on the Bassmasters tour.
Me?
Yeah,
I love.
You're a fisherman?
Not really. I try, but I'm not really. I watch videos on Google and or on YouTube, I mean.
Do you know how to drive a boat?
And then try to
figure out. He has a boat.
Yeah, I have a boat.
That's why I'm asking. I didn't know if you knew how to
A flat bottom John boat. Thank you very little. It's a fantastic little John boat, too. 20 footer.
I did see it. It is a nice boat.
Wide. It's got an outboard jet on it.
I could sit there.
You know, in this you know area, that's what you need to have for a boat. So I bought it from Tammy, who's our receptionist.
Do you want to check your time and see where we're at?
We've talked about, 10 minutes about fishing and nothing.
Well, you could always get a hold of Kevin Larkins. He was a professional fisherman.
Yes, he was. I think he still fishes.
That would be so frustrating. I couldn't imagine fishing for a living.
It's getting boring to me. I don't see the excitement in that, but
it's crazy.
It is relaxing. I don't mind doing it. Every once in a while, it's like, hey, I think I'm just going to go fishing today.
You know what might be fun to do for a living?
What?
Go to California next week and follow the Central California Clash.
Nice segue, Jim.
Woo!
You like that?
I did. That was pretty smooth.
Been paying attention to us.
The schedule for that little event has changed a little bit, I believe, right?
Yes.
Three 2-day shows. Essentially, it's going to be 6 days.
Yeah, it's going to be at Hanford Keller Auto Speedway at Hanford. Then they'll move to Tulare at Thunderbolt Speedway. Then they'll end up at the world famous Merced Speedway. World famous Merced Speedway. And those will be can't miss events.
And there are 2 days at each facility.
Each track, 2 days. Our own Dave Brin will be out there. And
he probably left, not
driving,
didn't he?
Or he would have had to leave about a month ago.
He's flying out.
He's flying out.
Yeah.
Well, how's the van going to get there if he flies?
Mobile tech.
In a cargo plane, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
We're trying to do most of our pre-tech on Facebook.
So remember,
Dave, the most efficient way to do it.
If you're going to race that Central California Clash, please email a picture or post a picture car to Facebook so you can get your pre-tech sticker.
Yeah, to Facebook inspector at imca.com.
And not to mention, you know, as we talk about super nationals, we need to start having those cars posted on Facebook for tech.
Correct.
Now, is it the same people?
If you don't send us your car for pre-inspection on Facebook.
Is it the same people?
No, that'd be like the Boonbound pictures.
Yes, we'll just use those.
We'll trick them
because that's really what we usually try to do here most of the time.
So that's how pre-tech worked this year at Super Nationals, the Moonbound picture?
We're going to trick people into sending us pictures so we can then turn around and punish them.
Well, speaking of trick people, you know, we put out the release about the connecting rods. And, you know, once again, we got outed. That was all a ploy to make the engines blow up so Brett can make more money.
Oh, God.
Damn it. How do they catch us?
I'm so easy to predict.
Now, that should have been the dumbass post of the week.
We have those occasionally, or we see those. Sometimes we are those dumbass posts of the week, but I try to restrict how much I post on Facebook.
Anyway. You haven't done very much lately, have
you? Oh, you've been very quiet.
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I just try to.
Some of them are fun to follow, though, even if you don't post them. Now, are those the same people that tech race cars that complain when promoters cancel races due to cold and weather?
Or race when it's too cold.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the subject is. They have to find what it is about that subject they can complain about and post about it. Because that's what Facebook's for. Anyhow, moving on. So, again, off the Dirtcast sign, I still think that logo is fantastic.
Can you show it again, Nate?
Chris and Nate did an excellent job.
Well, see, the top part Nate did and the Dirtcast Chris did. It was a joint effort. And it had to be black and red. There was no doubt about it.
Correct.
Black, the color of our souls.
I'm going to get shirts with that logo on it.
Ooh.
You guys aren't going to get it. You guys
just for you and Jim, like the hat hair deal.
Wear the retro vintage.
I like this one. I always like this one.
America's oldest hoodie.
Seeing what you're wearing today, I don't think I want to wear anything from you anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
I mean, if you come to work looking like that every day, I'd probably ask you to go back home. Just saying.
I'm not going to show my shirt.
You had an accident in the washing machine.
So at your house, Brett, because I know how it works at my house. Who is in charge of making sure that your pockets are clean?
Empty, you mean?
This is a debate that we have at my house. Since 2004? If you're doing the laundry, you should check the pockets of the clothes that you're doing. You know, that's used to do laundry, that's what I did.
But if you take the clothes off,
when Virginia is doing laundry, she checks my pockets for bolts and screws and nuts and
change, dollar bills,
money.
How about chapstick?
Receipts.
Yeah, how about chapstick?
Chapstick. Yeah, chapstick.
Because usually chapstick at home when I check my...
Chapstick's the one that gets me in trouble.
Yeah, because I washed some chapstick the other day.
Yeah, I did too.
You know why?
Well, I
forgot to empty my pockets.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't think it should fall on one person. If you're wearing the clothes, check. And if you're doing the laundry, also check. I don't think it's
sometimes
difficult.
We forget.
We do.
Get in a hurry.
It happens. Speaking of happening... You know what happened last week?
Here comes another segue.
Here comes another segue.
I went to Charlotte.
What happened last week?
I went to Charlotte.
What happened?
French Grimes raced.
He's been doing that a long time.
He got it done, and you know, I think for the people that saw the newsletter, there was a great story on French. And there was. As we celebrate the 25 years of Race Saver Sprints. And, you know, a little bit, I think we touched on this in the story, but, you know, it takes a genius. There's just no other words to describe French. To write a set of rules that have lasted 25 years without basically any changes. It's incredible. You know, once again, he's going to be the smartest guy in any room. If anybody's ever had a chance to sit down and talk to French for any amount of time, it's incredible. He will ask him what time. He'll tell you how to build a nuclear watch. he's truly a one of a kind. There's just no explaining French. And we're just glad what he started 25 years ago, with the help of Roger Hayden, now moving it forward, that we can be a part of the largest sprint car series in the country. Not only the largest, I would be willing to say you could take every other sprint car series, throw them in a hat, add them together, and they wouldn't equal the number of racers that Race Saver has. Once again, just a tremendous job by French setting the foundation, and Roger Hayden keeping it rolling.
Yeah, you go back 10 years. I think it might have been 11 years. It's been a while now since we associated ourselves with Race Saver and that. How that whole situation went down. And I think the last year prior to our involvement with Race Saver, we had 17 sprint car members, 1-7. So we didn't have very many. Really wasn't much of a division. And at the time, it was, you know, there was conversations as to whether or not we were going to have a sprint car division in IMCA, you know. And so it's just weird. Everything happens for a reason, you know, and the timing and everything is very important, I think, in many aspects of success. And you look at that situation, French had been around for many years prior to that, but before our involvement. And I remember some of those early conversations and the perspective he had on everything. And he to me, always you could draw parallels to him and in my opinion, to Keith Kanak and the vision that Keith had with modified racing back when the IMCA modified division got started. And, you know, you look at our involvement with Race Saver now, and I would have never have predicted the way that it has turned out, the way it is where it is today, that it would have been that successful. You know, I think we had right at 1,000 sprint car members in the division, you know, going from 17, 10 years ago. So it is no longer our smallest division of race car in IMCA, which it was for many years.
You look at the years, 2010, two racetracks hosted sprint car events that were sanctioned. 2014, there were six. In 2015, there were 67 tracks. 1 year, 60 tracks were added. That's due to Race Saver.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you just look like at that.
It,
boom.
You look at it, you know, from Jim's history lesson. In 1915, IMCA was formed off of, at that time, big cars, sprint cars.
Sprint cars.
It just shows how things, you know, full circle back to where, hey, this is where we were. This is where we are now, and sprint cars are is as big a part of IMCA as they were back in 1915.
Yeah, and it's just the Race Saver relationship is just one that we're very proud to be associated with, whether it be with French or Roger. You know, it doesn't just stop there. You look at the group of individuals that French has had with him from the onset as well. He's got
Smiley.
Yes, he had Smiley. He had, you know, Rod Ord out with the pass, and he's got Jim helping him out. Yes, Jim Haynes helping him out. And he's got his core guys that are very, very, very loyal to him and the division and very supportive of the division. And it just, that's what I think it says a lot about the class itself. And then you throw the 1,000 racers on top of it and the quality of the racing that the Race Saver Sprint Cars put on. You know, it's pretty cool for us to be a part of. We don't take it lightly. By any means.
And as we're talking about Race Saver, brings up another point. This weekend, I believe, you'll be able to tune in to IMCA TVs.
Next weekend.
And see Race Saver Sprint Cars live from Mercer Speedway.
That's what, May 5th?
Yeah. Next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yes. It's right there on screen.
Next weekend. Boom. Well, there you go.
It's Part of the Allegheny Sprint Tour, I believe.
We just hope the cameraman can keep up with the cars. And, yeah.
I mean, he is going out to going out there to the posse out to Pennsylvania. Think you can handle it, Nate?
I'll try.
Okay.
I'll try to keep up.
You know, that the series is out there. You know, you have the Allegheny, Laurel Highlands, Pass, Mid-Atlantic. But, you know, they go to – Brett mentioned Rod Ort. I mean, he's got the Pennsylvania Sprint Car Series. And they go to places like Williams Grove, Lincoln, Sealings Grove, Port Royal. And they'll bring with them anywhere from 45 to 52, 53 cars to race at these tracks. It's kind of funny, you know, these are historic tracks with the 410s, and they'll roll out about 21, 22 410s, and here come the race savers in the 50s. It's very interesting.
Yeah, you mentioned,
and they put on a great show.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned those tracks, Jim. Those are for Pennsylvania, just Pennsylvania racers, not excluding everybody. Those are bucket list racetracks in Pennsylvania. Those are the when you hear about racetracks in Pennsylvania, those are the ones that you know about, and it's the place they want to go.
Yeah, and facilities that we would likely at IMCA never be associated with from a modified or a stock car standpoint. That, you know, the race savers have opened us the opportunity for us to be a part of those facilities as well. You know, it brings credibility to the division, and it brings credibility to us to reach facilities of that magnitude.
And there, I mean, I think we sanction as many events in the state of Pennsylvania as far as tracks as anybody else. There's 20 or 30 tracks that we have sanctioned events at in Pennsylvania, which is right up there with California, Iowa, Texas. I mean, we're about every track out there.
It's crazy. You should take a picture of your map in your office sometime. We throw it up here.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going out there.
Ryan's Wall.
I haven't been to Ryan's Wall yet.
Well, you know, once again, sprint cars have always been a big part of IMCA. They always will be. You know, they're one of my favorite classes to watch. I got to admit it. They put on a great show.
I want to race one still.
I think you need to. I think Roger had it set up.
Does he have a disposable car? Because we know what Brett does.
Yeah, I just want to race one with nobody else around. Is that possible?
That's not a race.
That's not a race. That's just driving.
Damn.
That's practice.
I bought a stock car instead. All the cool sanctioning body owners have stock cars. We know this. I just had to make sure I was a part of that club.
That is true, but once again, I think if you got a sprint car, that would keep you at the top of the list, just like we are now. Everybody looking up.
Brett in a sprint car?
Woo-wee. Wow. I'm telling you, that would sell some tickets.
You know,
park
maybe
that sucker
we could
on the front stretch.
You know, we can figure out how to set it up from the picture behind me, and we'll go from there. See if we can get any of those Firestone tires. I think they're still around.
Yes.
Somebody's got some in a barn they're hoarding.
That's right.
We're selling them for $67 right now. You can ship to your door for $67. Yes.
Speedway Museum probably has some of the Firestone, I think Diamondbacks or whatever they called them, and we'll be good to go.
And sweet. Moving on. So we had talked a little bit, Jerry had talked a little bit earlier about the Super Nationals being aired.
Yeah, I was down in Charlotte.
That's in North Carolina. You're looking at me like you don't know what state that is.
I was trying to think when I was down there, because that turned into a trip from awesomeness. Left, woke up at 3:25 on Monday morning and walked back in the door at 3:45 Tuesday morning after 1,700 flight delays. But taking a look
here. How many, Jerry?
1,700 flight delays.
That is a lot of delays.
Better using me.
Yeah, we had to wait. But it was okay. I got to go do some touring down there while I was there, and I'm going to get those dates up. May 5th, 6 p.m. Eastern.
1 week from today.
1 day from today, if you're watching this tomorrow, it's 6 days from today.
It's Thursday.
Yes. Thursday, May 5th, you can join Speed Sport Presents the IMCA Super Nationals. It'll be the modified portion. We highlighted the Race of Champions, the All-Star Invitational, and, of course, the dance. And then on May
19th,
same time on MAV TV, will be the stock cars, and we highlighted the same thing. We did the Race of Champions, the All-Star, and the Big Dance. So about an hour long, hour long both nights. So tune it in. Check MAV-TV for your local listings. And I'm sure we can probably have a Facebook police put a post out there or something we're working on.
Absolutely.
Share it out so you don't forget.
Give people something you'll to complain about. You'll
be on the call of that?
Yes, myself and Ralph Shaheen.
Is there technology that we can mute you out and just listen to Ralph yet? Or?
Well, if we haven't figured it out for you, I don't know that they figured it out for me. But yeah, so I always like to go check different things out, and you know, we rained out at Boone pretty early. So speaking of Ralph, he invited me down to I-70, which I know Jim and I were talking on the way down there. We went to watch the old American Flat Trackers, the Harley Davidson and the Indians on two wheels. Those dudes
are nuts.
You guys think that the guys on four wheels in a cage are crazy? I seen two guys go head first into the Armco at 90 mile an hour.
Did they survive?
It took a little bit to get up, but when they got up, it was crazy.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. I mean, the whole event
they're
was
going to regret that when they're like 50 or 60.
I think they might regret it the next morning, but it was
probably when they hit it. The
immediate regret.
As soon as they hit it.
But it was crazy. You know, they were telling me the technology, because on a straightaway, you can't put anything protective. Because you can catch it with a peg. You know, they used to put hay bales. And well, guys would catch a peg or they catch your foot on a hay bale and crash. And then
throw them into the fence.
Exactly. So the only, and they've got, their safety barriers are inflatable canvas walls. I mean, so when you hit it, they're like a, you know, 2 foot wide, full of air. So it compresses. Their leathers are an airbag. So they were telling me that if you get a, something that happens abnormal, like a quick jolt, like you getting thrown from the bike, the suit just blows up like the airbag in your car, helps protect you from there. But man, where these guys hit,
it's crazy.
It was right on the metal guardrail. And I was like, oh boy, this is crazy.
Jerry, we appreciate you demonstrating what that airbag looks like in your sweatshirt.
Correct. One size too small. Wow.
Oh, just for men. Worked
I
for
told
Jim.
Him that earlier. Pick the
your
wrong
shirt
size.
Looks good, Jerry.
Thank you, Ryan.
Well, you used to wear a bigger size than that, didn't you?
Yes, I did used to wear a bigger size than this.
Is that a 3 or 4?
One other thing, Jerry, who was the promoter of that flat track race?
Oh, that was Tommy Estes. We actually had a good time. I sat there up there in the suite in the boots there with him and chatted. And very impressive facility. I hated to see that stock car and modified show get canceled, because that would have been, that place is it's badass. I mean, they did a great job with the you know, talking to Tommy, they actually, you know, it's not a full half. They did shorten from what it used to be when it was asphalt and dirt, but it's still banked very similar. I mean, the layout of the place is, I mean, it's second to none. I'd hate to I was down there the Wednesday before Lottie and I had to make a trip to Sweetwater. We bought some equipment down there together. And he says, we drove in there and he's like, wow. And look at the dirt work. I'm like, what about this and that? They moved a lot of dirt to make this place. And I'm like, we drove around, took the tour. You know, they're still, they're working on getting the drag strip built. That's going to be off of the east end of the complex. It's going to be, just so you know, Jim, I know we talked about it. It is a full quarter mile with a quarter mile shutdown. That's going to be, it's neat to see facilities that revive and come back, you know, like that. Or, you know, just any racetrack in the country that's been dormant. You know, I follow that Lost Speedways Facebook page, and you start to see some of these places that you heard about 10, 20 years ago that where'd that place go? And then somebody says, hey, we're going to bring this thing back and make it strong again.
Kinda we have
like,
racetracks.
Kind of like the sprint cars.
Correct. We have racetracks moving dirt that, you know, are still open, you know, like Harlan. I don't know if Nate has video of that. Shelby County Speedway. We got some drone footage from Shelby County.
And you, what's nice about it, you can see what it, you know, there's the turn two in the back stretch from the existing track.
Look at the work.
What are they cutting that down to?
It's going
to
be a third mile.
Third mile.
I can't believe, you know, how far they have gotten with that facility. I mean, that is a lot.
Look at all the dirt that's been moved right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the decision to do that wasn't made all that awful long ago. I mean, they've done a lot of work in a short period of time.
That's like within a month's time.
It's crazy.
But I think they're looking for like a mid-May open on that.
That's what I was going to ask. Are they planning to run yet this year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They want to start their weekly program about
middle of May.
If not by Memorial Day, for sure.
Well, hopefully they get everything ironed out and the racetrack is in great shape. And you know, because that is an immense amount of work and money and time to make that happen. You know, you look at a track like that, like Harlan, which is, you know, the Tiny Lund has been there forever. And all recognize that facility as being a big half mile, and you know, it's no longer a half mile, you know, and it's interesting to me when you look across the United States, how many tracks that IMCA sanctions, that are half miles, you know, and there's not a lot. If you think about it, you know, you might be able
every day.
Yeah, and then you have the ones that have actually been cut back, like, you know, Shelby County's just the latest, but, you know, right up the road, Denison went through that.
Cut back.
They cut theirs back. Farley here in the state of Iowa cut theirs back a few years ago. You got Jackson in Motorplex in Minnesota that cut theirs back.
Didn't Arlington at one point in time shorten up also?
I don't think so, not that I'm aware of. Maybe shorten, but it's still a big.
It's still a bigger race, yeah.
But you look at Arlington, you know, which is one of our longest sanctioned racetracks. It's a big half mile. Yeah. You look at Shawano in Wisconsin.
That thing's a huge half mile.
And they
raced last weekend up there.
You could argue that Shawano probably has in our world, in the IMCA world, probably the best half mile program in IMCA racing.
They get a lot of cars.
Yeah. They get
what amazes me
plenty
is,
of cars. You know, very popular, good crowds.
Yeah,
well run. Yep. You hear a lot of good things about Shawano. Yeah.
Up in that area, you've got two prominent Saturday night racetracks that, you know, an hour and 15, 20 minutes apart.
And they're nothing alike.
141, which is this tight little weird shaped place that gets 181 cars a night. You go up the road to Shawano, they're 130, 140 plus, and they just pack the place. I mean,
different facilities.
Yeah. You've got guys up in that area that won't go race Shawano because it's a half mile, but then you got guys that won't go to 141 because it's too short.
Yeah.
But collectively, there's so many drivers in that area up there that they both have and they field great Saturday night programs.
Yep. But the vast majority.
Both tracks have one thing in common. They have great leadership.
Oh, look at that, Danny the Ducker Tychak. I thought he was the Frog Station Flipper, but now he's the duck.
But you know, Dan and his team, Scott, and obviously Toby making the trip up there to run that place every Saturday night. I mean, do a fantastic job. They entertain the fans. The facility's spotless. And then you go to Shawano. Dale's been running that place for years and years and years. And you know, it's a well-oiled machine. The program's quick. The track is always good at both places. And that's why you see the car counts that you see at both those facilities.
You know, we do collect the size of the racetracks for the information that's provided by the tracks at the beginning of the year. I can put some numbers together and just see how many half miles we have.
It would be interesting to actually put a number to it. If I had to guess, I would say there's probably less than 10.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
In the entire United States. And how many tracks are we going to sanction this year, Ryan? Do you have that in front of you?
200 and, well, we're going to have events at 200 and, well,
50-ish it'll usually.
Be around 250. We've got some that haven't come in yet.
You know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, a lot of places listen to the racer. You know, we know that over the years, the half-mile fairground, you know, because that's where they started, the half-mile racetracks were fairground facilities. So you've watched a lot of those places cut them back. Because they've listened to it. Hey, it's just too hard. It's just too hard on equipment. It's just too this, and this. And I mean, the promoter themselves, I mean, the time and effort it takes to prep a half mile racetrack versus a quarter mile racetrack is immensely, hugely different in what it takes to keep the grounds up, keep it prepared, make sure it's racy every week. So there is, I think, collectively between promoters and racers, they're the ones together that make that decision on, hey, this is what we got to do if we want to make it better for everybody. And that goes to show that, you know, everybody listens to everybody. And if If you keep doing that, it's going to be a success.
And you got the Shawnos, the Arlingtons. You got Casa Grande, who's probably I don't know if it would technically be a half mile race.
Like a 410,
I think. It's a pretty big place.
Yuma's
is a pretty big place. So there are still some very successful weekly shows, very successful half mile racetracks or almost half mile racetracks across the country. But you know, the vast majority of the facilities that we're sanctioning are probably 3/8 or smaller. You know, you've got something as little as like Ventura, you know, which is just tiny. But then you have, you know, we used to sanction a racetrack in the biggest racetrack I think I've ever been to. Would be Lafargeville, would it be Can-Am Speedway at the time, years ago, up in northern central
Watertown.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I've been there, and there was a famous video of an IMCA modified that made, it's been a while now.
Is that the guy that goes through the fence and then rolls up and lands in the front row?
He literally jumped the front stretch fence and landed in like row 5 of the bleachers.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was at Can-Am.
Yeah.
It's in Watertown, New York. But yeah. You know, we've got a lot of history with a lot of different size racetracks, but you know, the half mile racetracks just seem to be doing, you know, we've probably have as many that have done what Harlan has done as we do that haven't, you know what I mean? So the trend seems to be to cut back a little bit on the size for whatever reason, you know, whether it be it's the technology and the aero packages and all the things that are kind of going along with racing these days in all divisions, whether it be something like our hobby stock all the way up to, you know, late models, which are becoming extremely aero dependent.
You know, I remember a place that's not there anymore is, you know, the old Greenbelt Speedway in Eldora. Allerhammer promoted forever.
I thought you were going to say Mason City.
Now, this place was bigger than that. I remember the first time I went there as a kid after it reopened, like in the late 80s. It was just like, does this place ever end? It just goes on. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest racetracks I've, you know, worked at, because I mean, it was a true half on the outside.
Lost the outside speedways of the, you know, whatever you say, the Facebook page, maybe
lost speedways. But you know, and the thing of it is, the place is still there. I mean, the guardrail is still all around it. They do some. Yeah, Audubon was
another one.
That thing was huge and I mean, it was.
Kevin Larkins made that place famous, didn't he? Didn't Larkins make that place famous?
Yeah. Jim?
Kevin was the mayor of Audubon.
But yeah, no. I think at some point there'll be a statue of Kevin Larkins right next to Albert the Bull.
Oh, shoot.
But no, it's just, on the other aspect, it was fun to go to like a Friday night program at Marshalltown and then go to, you know, cause you had guys that did that, you know, they raced Friday there, then they went to Eldora on Sunday. So you had a tight little bull ring to then just letting it.
The Wayne Larson days.
Oh man. Yeah. Back in the day when he was running.
Speaking of lost tracks coming back, Skyline Raceway. It's been kind of dormant for a couple years. And Brad Smith.
Oh, trying to get Tammy in here.
The Tammy racer Brad in. Smith.
Brad's doing first a good year. He's putting a lot of effort and his heart and soul in that thing. You know, I kind of friends with him on Facebook. We'll chat back and forth. And he's on a mission with that place. And I think he's gonna be successful. Very good with it out there.
Yes. There's no doubt. And they've got a New York Penn Series race, Jake Maynard Series, and you know, once again, what Jake has done back east in New York, that Pennsylvania area, you know, we were, you know, kind of dried up. We had some tracks that didn't work out for us, and Jake kind of took the bull by the horns, and you know, he's got the series going again. You know, we used to have for several years a very successful series out there. Walt Allen did it, and then you had Ed run it for a long time, and you know, it was successful, and Jake's bringing it back, and they've got their first race at Skyline coming up, and it's $1,000 to win for the modified to Skyline. It ought to be a great show. I know that, you know, Frank and Audrey Payne had that track forever. It was the second track we sanctioned in the state of New York behind Harvey Fink's Brewerton. And there it is right there. And you know what? Once again, tune into IMCA TV. You'll be able to see it.
Skyline's a great facility. I've been there.
It is. It's just kind of a neat setting, that whole place.
Up in the hills?
Yep. Yep. You better, it can be tough to get to getting up in the hills, but it's beautiful up there. And like we said, I think Brad's going to do a great job, and Jake's got that series going great. It ought to be a hell of a show coming up.
Yeah, this series is in Pennsylvania, New York, and are they going to reschedule that race in New Jersey? They had one scheduled for New Jersey.
I think they're looking for a date for Bridgeport. Yeah.
Weather. But, damn weather.
Yes.
That dang weather.
Yes. Yep. And once again, speaking of premier facilities across the country, we can hardly talk about those without mentioning the world famous I-30 Speedway with all of our favorite promoter, Ryan.
Tracy Clay.
Tracy Clay.
Ryan, your face is getting...
No, what was I supposed to say?
I like putting you on the spot.
I didn't know what that... There was a lead in there somewhere. I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know where Jim was.
Tracy has requested Ryan attend.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the only track that has ever made that request.
Exactly.
That's a 10-hour drive. I checked that out
yesterday. First time for everything.
No, it's not the first.
I actually made that drive almost twice in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You did.
What is that, about 10 hours?
It'd be about that from here.
It seemed like 24, but I think it's
Batesville's about 8, so it's another 2 to Little Rock.
Yep.
I'd have to do that when I had a Sunday free.
That track is unbelievable. I mean, it's just the location of it right off the interstate. You got shopping outlet malls, you got everything kind of around it, and there sits I-30, and it's just, there's something about walking into that place that, you know, you just kind of say to yourself, this is the way racing ought to be. And the track is racy. I mean, it's incredible. I've never seen a bad race there. And once again, we talked earlier about promoters who run a good show, and promoters you don't want to get on their bad side when you're racing, because Tracy will let you know over the receiver if you've been a bad boy or girl. She's not shy about that.
Yeah, I think she's part of the reason why we don't allow golf carts after a certain hour at Super Nationals. I went on a golf cart ride with her.
Only if you're royalty, because as we all know, she is the queen.
She is the queen. Yes, she is. Now, what is it, the Short Track Nationals, the Mod Lights are going
to
be down there?
Mod Lights, 3,000 to win. Wow. I think, it's going to be a heck of a show. They're expecting a great field of cars. And
that will be on IMCA TV 2 via Dunright TV.
Gotcha. Well, there you go, IMCA TV. What race isn't on IMCA TV anymore?
I can think of a couple.
When is that race? When is the short track?
Yeah, can you put that on the schedule, Nate?
I was just looking for it. They don't have it listed yet. Okay. It doesn't look like. But they will be there doing the broadcast, I believe. So
perfect.
Well, it looks like May. I can't hardly read the flyer in my background, but was it May 6th and 7th?
You are prepared for everything,
aren't you? Holy
cow! He's been doing his homework.
You know
he's
what's
taking
also
his podcast
running?
Series.
You know what else is also running with the Mod Lights that night?
It looks like
modifieds and stock cars.
Freeze and performance modifieds and IMCA Sunoco stock cars.
Wow, Jerry, you have done your homework.
You know, I guarantee if you're there, you will be the only thing not running. Well, I mean, on your feet anyway. Hey, the Iron Cup's coming up at Park Jefferson.
Park Jefferson.
Yes. Of course, they kicked off both the South Dakota racetracks.
That's right.
The big one and the little one.
Raceway Park opened up last weekend.
Yeah, both of them.
Who won the modified feature at Park Jefferson?
I think it was that Cody Thompson kid.
Did he?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
You know who won it at Raceway Park?
Didn't Jim Cole win something out
Jimmy
there?
Cole
yeah.
won
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Jimmy Cole. Cole. Rusty Montag went back-to-back in the sport mods.
Jimmy Cole's a fun guy to have at banquets.
Yes, he is.
Jimmy Cole's just a fun guy to have around altogether. I mean, especially if you've got a four-wheeler, a shovel, and a dude in a chicken suit. That right
what
there.
More, what more do you need?
All you need is the Boone Speedway and Super Nationals, and you've got Chicken Man.
We don't talk about Chicken Man.
Remember when Chicken Man was your buddy?
He made Chicken Man famous.
Yes. Now, well, Chicken Man was... made Ryan Clark famous.
He was on Tosh.0, I think, wasn't he? I think it made
Tosh.0. Yes, Tosh. It did. It made Tosh.0.
Riding the shovel.
Yeah.
You know the thing that I'm never
at the end of the day, that night, I mean, apparently he got plucked somewhere because he did not have the chicken suit on at one point.
He was from Sioux City. Yeah, was he naked on, I thought he was naked on the shovel.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He started off in the chicken suit and then he ended up not so chickened.
I wasn't there for that part.
He had to have been sitting on a pillow or something.
No, it was the bare metal, the green shovel.
He wasn't on a pillow because I think he was on something else to make him be able to
do that. Yeah, something a little better than pillow.
Yeah. Third degree burns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
what do you have behind you now,
Clark Griswold?
The Super Nationals.
That would be Kinder Connect upside down on Sunday.
Speaking of Mod Lights. But, that was a historic part of the Super Nationals.
Chicken Man.
I'll just never.
Remember when the Smiths had the chickens running around their pit area?
Well, one year we had, I was going to say one year.
There was actual chickens.
Somebody left a bunch of chickens at the racetrack after the races. After the Super Nationals was over, there was roosters running around out in the field.
Those were those chickens that were.
I didn't
remember. Yeah, I remember.
I remember Lottie said, hey, somebody left some damn chickens here.
hey, bud, somebody left some chickens.
Oh, shoot.
And, you know, we also have breakfast every morning at the Super Nationals. Maybe there's a tie-in right there.
Yeah. Discount on eggs.
Fresh eggs.
But, yeah, the Iron Cup coming up at Park Jefferson this coming up weekend. It's, $2,500 to win for the mods, $1,200 for the stock cars. Ought to be a great show.
I think they got a practice night and then a two-night show.
Yep, absolutely.
Adam does a nice job up there. I've had a handful of times to go up there and be part of some shows up there at Park Jefferson. It's just a neat little facility. And you know, there's a place that we talk about transformation. I didn't realize it until years ago when I was buying my first house. I was went through a house in Boone, and when you look at things, you're looking at the walls to make sure they look. And I'm like, hang on a minute, I've seen this sign before, and it's these people with racehorses that they owned, and they're in front of that old iconic Park Jefferson steel sign. And I said, hey, where's this from? Well, it's from this horse track in South Dakota. Well, the horse racing died out up there, and they went in the mid-80s and took a horse track to a stock car track. And it's just neat. You still got the old clubhouse there that they rent out. You can buy an upgrade ticket, or you can rent it out, and
off the back stretch.
Yeah. No, it's off the turn one and two now, but it used to be back there years ago, but just a great little facility.
Well, you go off the track in turn one and two, you're going to go across that road there.
No, they put a wall up there. I remember one night we flipped a sprint car out of there and a hobby stock ended up in North Sioux at the casino.
Was Brett driving that hobby stock?
It was an Impala.
You've never raced a fendered car before, have you?
No.
Have you ever crashed a fendered car before?
Yes.
This is our segment, What Brett Has Crashed.
Could you give us the year, make, and model of this fendered car you crashed?
No.
Never been to a casino?
Have I?
Well, yeah, because we had banquets at casinos for a long time.
Yeah. I always thought it would be cool to give out our point fund in poker chips.
That's a great idea. Mm. That's novel.
I always thought that would be kind of cool.
Be a lot of poker chips.
Yeah, that would be a lot of poker chips.
It's probably a lot more legit just to pay them for it.
I suppose. Yeah. Government likes it better that way.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so 43rd annual. I want to plug the
Benton County Speedway. Oh, yeah, big weekend
that weekend.
Yes.
4,300 to win, 400 to start. For modifieds here at Benton County Speedway. It might be the first of the race of their season at the Rick.
The way it's going.
To be quite honest. We got about four more weeks before this race is supposed to happen. They haven't had a race yet.
Yeah, thank you guys got like 4 inches of rain here today, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was a monsoon. It was hailing too for a little while.
Yeah.
Crazy. But anyhow, 4,300 to win, 400 to start. That's the Monday event. I think he's paying $1,000 to win.
Yeah, it's $1,000 to win on Sunday.
Yeah, he's
on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Again, Memorial Day weekend. So it'll be a big weekend out here. I imagine there'll probably be a party in the pits on Sunday. of some sort.
I don't, I
are
think
you coming
I,
over for that?
If not Sunday in the pits, it'll be probably at the Rendezvous downtown.
Well, usually every Sunday night, there's a party in the pits no matter what after the races here. I mean, I've gotten some calls from Ryan. He's been at some people's pits.
That's been a while since we've
been. It was 11:30 or 12, and at 11:30 or 12, the race has been done for 4 hours. And
Sport Mods pay $1,700 to win that night, $170 to start. So I would anticipate a pretty good field of modifieds, pretty stout field also.
And those are the only two classes racing on Monday.
Stout field of Sport Mods as well. Yep. So, yeah, it should be a good show, quick show.
Yep.
You know, it'll be a good time. 43rd annual. It's crazy.
43 years of the IMCA modified and 17 of the Sport Mod.
Yeah.
Trying to think of who won that first Sport Mod feature. We were looking through the archives last week, and I don't remember who it was.
You know what would be really cool?
It was in Des Moines. It was at the state fairgrounds on April 8th, 2005, Jim something. And I can't remember his last name.
But you know what would be really cool? Because if you could have, like, the first IMCA modified and the first IMCA Northern Sport Mod at that event.
Yeah, that's a problem. We got one of the two.
One out of two, maybe.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah. 50-50.
One's in storage, one's...
in pieces.
Melted
one's
down
in scrap.
Somewhere. Melted down somewhere.
Jim, where's that picture from?
A racetrack, Jerry.
Oh, it's from Kokopah. I just had, I see the pit shack in the background. I know it's from a racetrack, you ding dong. I can tell that because there's race cars. Ugly mug in front of that car, but the race cars look sexy. And the sunset, too.
We are also going to unveil our 40th anniversary Super Nationals logo here shortly.
Right now?
Not
Did
today.
Nate design this one?
No. Nate and Chris are still arguing about whether they like it or not.
I've had no say in this.
Well,
one.
We haven't argued with their logo.
I haven't seen this one yet. So
does it look similar to the old one, or is it completely different?
They all carry kind of this similar look and feel to it. Yeah, but we redesign them every year. We try to sometimes.
Tweak them a little bit.
Yeah, and we've had Matted Intensity's done some logo work for us, and Stefan up at Sabizma has done some logo work for us, and we try to throw around, come up with different ideas. The logo design is interesting because you like the Super Bowl. We they do the Roman numerals and it's really Roman numeral-ish.
Yeah, that's 90% of their logo.
And then they throw the city on the bottom and you have a little bit of city theme. And it's hard to do that as something like Super Nationals where it's at the same racetrack all the time. It's the same event, but we've tried to play with the Roman numeral stuff and we just I don't know. This year will be interesting. We'll probably have a couple versions of one logo that it's going to look cool. One with Roman numerals, maybe one without. But it's going to be a big race this year, too. 40th anniversary. Jim, is it, what's it pay to win the Super Nationals?
Priceless.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's $7,000, isn't it?
$7,000.
Yeah, it's been seven.
Seven.
Wouldn't it be cool to pay $40,000 to win? Jim, what do you think?
I know Lottie's been pushing for it.
He has. He's really wanted us to pay for it. Yeah, and we fought that quite heavily.
Hang on.
Yeah. Could you get him on the phone?
Call.
Carson, we need you to go to work on something. It's really big. All right. Brett will call you with the details.
It probably won't pay 40, but wouldn't it be cool if it did? You know what I mean? The Facebook police would immediately say that we are.
I'm going to pay 40 this time, but fought 40 every other year.
You're wrecking the modified division.
Yeah, you're wrecking the Super Nationals 1 year at a time, Brett.
At a time.
Good Lord. I got that text this
morning.
Yeah,
you're all the money wrecking you didn't the pay.
Stockard division. Hey,
do you think that text was sent the angry way?
Yeah, it wasn't in caps, so apparently not.
Yelled at.
It was a kind criticism. So
was it constructive? No,
Super Nationals, 40th anniversary this year. Eventually, the weather's going to clear up here in the next few weeks, we hope.
We've got over 100 races scheduled nationwide this weekend. Hopefully we can get a bunch of them in.
Yeah, hopefully.
Do you think we got 40 of the 80 in last week, Ryan?
I don't know. I asked Virginia, and she hadn't processed everything yet, but I had looked at part of her rainout list, and it was pretty significant. She had a lot of work to do yet.
I bet we didn't get half the scheduled events in last week. I would be surprised. I had to guess.
I know 100, speaking of 40, I know 100% of my races got rained out last week.
Hey, speaking of 40, I thought this was really cool last week. 44 modifieds checked in at Crystal.
Whoa, yeah. Up in Michigan?
At Ron Flynn's. For their opener. For their opener, 44 IMCA modifieds. And Jim had mentioned Ron, you know, earlier in the podcast, but for us, you know, you can easily, and we know this, but one could easily conclude that there would be no IMCA modified racing in the state of Michigan if it weren't for Crystal and Ron Flynn. You know, when you go back a handful of years ago, maybe 15, 18, 20 years or so, maybe, Jim.
Yeah.
You know, they the state of Michigan, all except Ron, decided that they were going to form their own association. We're going to get to that. They kicked IMC out of the state because they were tired of sending their money out of the state. You know, so that was what they were telling everybody. We're not sending our money out of the state of Michigan. We're going to keep it here. So they formed the Michigan Modified Association. They took a clone set of rules. They might have called them alternative modified rules. I don't know if that was quite the term they coined.
Oh, maybe it was type. Type.
Something like that.
Remember, because it used to be type.
So the Michigan Modified Association was formed. And today, how's the Michigan Modified Association doing, Jim?
They're IMC sanctioned right now, Brett.
The Michigan Modified Association went out of business about 10 years ago. They switched to some UMP stuff for a while. You know, the state of Michigan went UMP for a while, and that didn't work. Now they're back, you know, and again, you look at 44 modifieds at Crystal. Crystal for many years is one of the highest averaging car counts in IMCA modified racing in the United States, year after year after year. And Ron was all in an island by himself, all out there right in the middle of Michigan, running sanctioned, and nobody around him was supporting it. And you know, we can't thank him enough for his loyalty to IMCA. And when you see Crystal get 44 cars at their opener last weekend, it just puts a huge smile on. I know it has to put a huge smile on Ron's face, his staff, everybody there, Terry, everybody that helps him there, on their faces to see that many IMCA modified show up there. I know it makes us pretty proud, but the reality is the reason why that happens at a place like Ron's place is because of the position he's taken many years ago. And we've added some sanctions the last couple of years, have come back in Michigan. We're very appreciative. Tri-City. Jim would have to name them. I get them all confused.
Silver Bullet.
I-96. Winston. Winston, yeah. You have a handful of tracks that have come back to IMCA modified racing, and the car counts at those facilities are going up, you know, and Ron, you know, I don't think anybody else raced last weekend in Michigan either. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Ron was about the only one that got in because of the weather, but 44 modifieds right back at Crystal. So, you know, Ron carried the IMCA flag for us for many years all by himself out there, and we're very, very appreciative of that. And the guys who stuck to IMCA at that facility for years, we're very appreciative of that, and when we see the success like they had last weekend, it makes us all smile and very proud to be a part of that whole situation out there, and very thankful of Ron and his staff for sticking with us.
Absolutely, and you just as a matter of fact, you know what today is, Brett?
Is it Ron's birthday?
It's Ron Flynn's birthday today.
Well, happy birthday, Ron! If we had music.
Happy birthday, Ron!
We play it for you every
day.
You
got the birthday music cued. Nate? No, he doesn't.
Nate? Oh.
Nate doesn't.
We need one of those Kramer buttons where you can just push it, you know, and it just starts playing music. Jim's probably got that in his podcast studio at home. He's got a green screen now. He's got a microphone. I mean, yeah, I'm jealous.
You know, when you're America's number one podcast, this kind of stuff happens.
I'd hate to see, like, when the green screen goes away, what his bathroom actually looks like.
Yeah. He's sitting in bed.
We saw that yesterday during his kind of.
Oh, yeah, we did see his custom urinal that he's got in his house.
Yesterday, we saw his basement. The green screen is an improvement.
Oh, his custom urinal. No, don't go there. Oh, please.
All it takes is one click, kids.
What else? We've been talking for about 50, almost an hour now. We're going to reach our time
limit.
Yeah, no, and our podcast can automatically shut off.
Oh, Jim, hang on. Jim, are you getting the same text? Is there some breaking news coming in?
Breaking news.
I got
breaking news here on the IMC Dirt Podcast.
Wait, what? Wow. Wow. That was Trent Chin on the phone.
Trent from Spencer.
Trent from Spencer.
He's
Trent
from all over. Elton. He's from everywhere.
Trent from everywhere.
Trent's everywhere. You know, once again, before I get into the breaking news, I don't even know if I should announce this yet, but I think we're gonna blow the lid off it right away. But speaking of Trent, I mean, here's a guy, a kid, whatever you want to call it, get in the promoting business, a kid, what, probably youngster, 3-4 years ago, and just do a fantastic job at every place he's been. I mean, you look at the job he's done at Elta. You look at the job he's done on a Monday night at Spencer. You know, we're talking 130 some odd cars on Monday night.
Spencer.
Up at Spencer.
Yeah.
Quick show.
It's crazy.
I mean, just fantastic what he's been able to accomplish as a new promoter in this short of time.
Well, he must be doing something, right? Because everybody's hiring him up there.
That's right.
He is everywhere.
A wanted man.
Well, this is kind of breaking. I think we're going to spill this before it even gets announced. Here we go. At the Clay County Fair Speedway on May the 23rd, not the 24th, not the 25th, not the 22nd, but May 23rd, Clay County Fairgrounds Speedway. You ready for this, Jerry?
Yeah, because I think I'll have to be there.
This is a Monday night.
God. Oh, yeah.
Monday night, 23rd.
You ready for this, Jerry? 5,000 to win for IMCA Stock Cars.
Ooh.
500 to start.
Whoa.
Whoa. For a one-night show.
One-night show.
One-night stand for $5,000.
Beautiful Clay County Fair Speedway.
Got a ring to it.
One-night stand for $5,000.
One-night stand. There you go. I think you're onto something here.
There's another fairgrounds facility that made a choice. We either stay in the racing business or we get out. And I think talking to some of the people up there on that fair board, they're happy they decided to stay in the racing business.
Absolutely. Yes. You know,
it's a cool racetrack.
Oh, I mean, I remember going up there for the Enduro. I remember the day fair races. I mean, this thing was the track, and this is no exaggeration, was maybe at best 2.5 car widths wide. I don't know how they ran enduro cars 4 wide up there. I mean, they run sprint cars and some, you know, modifieds off and on during the Clay County Fair. But then, like I said, they had to make a decision. Do we get rid of it and make it parking, or do we build a facility? And they went whole hog on it, and it's paid off for them up there.
Well, you know what made that decision easy for them? Trent Chin. Because he stepped in there and
he's turned doing a great
that
job.
Place around. And once again, he's got a, you know, Jeremy with the Fair Board president. I mean, he supports Trent 100%, and that means a lot, I mean, to the success of the place. But
they say Spencer has like the second biggest fair in the state?
It's a world's it's the world's largest county fair.
County fair,
because it's still called. I mean, they have their 4-H. Yeah, they have their
something like that. It's huge.
Huge. I love it. I remember we used to go up there as a kid in camp, and I still, you know, it always lays in that bad time of year because it's
state fair.
Yes,
it starts. Yep. The Clay County Fair starts on the Saturday of Super Nationals.
Yep.
And therefore, you know, when Joe Ringsdorf was running the Enduros, we would literally get done with Super Nationals, do whatever, and then have to take off at like 5 a.m. to go to Spencer.
For Enduros.
To do the Enduros up there.
Yeah, they've got a very, very successful
fair. And that fair is, I mean, I remember it as a kid. I mean, you know, they have their 4-H fair like in July, which is, you know, what gets you qualified for the state fair. But then they have, you know, what they call the Clay County Fair, and it's dubbed the world's largest county fair, and it is. I mean, it's a huge fair, and I mean, it attracts people from all over the country and all over the world.
Yep. Great fair, great racing, great racetrack, yes. Great promoter. A lot of good things going on in Spencer.
And there's going to be 5,000 more news. Good reasons.
5,000 to be at Spencer to win. 500 to start.
May the 23rd.
I better get my car together.
I think so. And, you know, if...
Oh, and now
you got a driver for it, Brett.
You could take the boat. You could take the car and the boat, because then we go to Okoboji the next day. You can go fishing.
I don't think I got a boat that's big enough to go on Okoboji.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do. I saw your boat. I did one. I fished one day.
It's a John boat, Jerry.
Mine was
flat bottom.
Hey, if you know when you see the guy and he's
that's me.
That was me one day on Okoboji fishing with three of us in this little. I was like,
how many people can you pull water skiing with that boat, Brett?
With my boat?
Yeah.
That'd be zero. You don't pull nothing with my boat. You pull the transit off the back of it.
He won't need to take the boat anyway because after he destroys his stock car Monday night, he won't have time for
fishing and just takes you to the sandbar. Yeah.
Well, hey, if there is one good thing about up there, the only now there is concrete in turn 3 and 4.
But, you know, once again, that $5,000, that is a automatic qualifier, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
Oh, yeah.
The B&B chassis.
Also, the All-Stars for B&B chassis.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll look for news on that. We'll get some of that posted on imca.com, throw it on Facebook so people can find something wrong with it. And
we are live. Are we on Spotify like right now? Are we?
We're not live.
No.
It'll be up later this afternoon.
How am I getting messages?
Just to find us on Spotify, just go to Joe Rogan's Facebook or Joe Rogan's Spotify account, and we're the one right beside it. We're like number 2 podcast.
We are?
Yes, Joe Rogan. Yes. IMCA TV.
It's because of this new. It's because of the new logo.
And then it's Call Her Daddy, I think, is in third.
Call Her Daddy?
Right, Jim?
That's the ratings that I saw that came out.
Something like that.
I've already got a comment or a message about you not liking somebody's stock car up in Wisconsin, I think, because of your text message. I'm thinking, I'm not even out there yet.
Facebook police coming to get you.
Before it's even aired.
One Facebook picture at a time. Look out.
Now, I envision the Facebook.
Don't make your race cars look too nice.
I envision.
Because we are going to ruin them.
I imagine the IMCA Facebook police being like the minions from Despicable Me. And when they were in the cop, here they come rolling up and you
banana.
Got. Yeah, banana.
Banana. Oh, well. Let's wrap it up.
All right, wrap it up. Hey,
episode 7.
Jim, you want this last piece of pizza?
Might be a little cold.
Just leave it on the table for me. I'll get it next week. Stuck to the
box. All right, I'll leave it here.
It'll taste good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cold Casey's pizza is.
We'll come back next week with another podcast, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can start talking about some more racing. Maybe we should bring somebody on besides Jim, but Jim's podcast room is getting pretty cool.
Pretty intense.
Yeah, that is.
I like to call it a studio, Brett. It's not a podcast room. It's a studio. Podcast
studio. In the dungeon.
Yeah.
So...
let's wrap it up.
For Jim, live from parts of Omaha Unknown, and the three of us, and producer Nate, episode 7. Hope you enjoyed it. Just remember, if you don't want to look at us, but you want to hear us.
Spotify.
All them. Which ones can they go to, Nate?
We are on Spotify, Google, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio. It's not quite on Pandora yet. I'm waiting for that approval, but, I mean, basically every major podcast platform. We are there.
We are.
Well, you've got to be on every one of them.
ZZ Top said, we're nationwide. We're nation bad.
We're one episode away from replacing Howard Stern as the king of all media.
Well, we are one episode away from number 8. So we'll be back in a week or so with number 8. Hope you enjoyed. Get on out. Enjoy some great IMCA racing. If you can't get out, remember, it's all live on IMCA TV. If you want to go back and watch some replays of stuff you missed, go back, watch some great excitement. You can get that replay pass. That money goes back to racers throughout the course of the year. So $24.95 on the replay pass. Get you 30 days of all IMCA archived access. So get them out there. We'll see you back next podcast. Have a great week. Enjoy some great IMCA racing.